Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the second line from the top of Daf Yud Tes, where a new Mishnah appears. Before learning the Mishnah, we will glance at the outside margin, noting one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Shas Gemara that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, in which we feature topic headings and structural notes from time to time. The topic headings are called Nosei, and structural notes are referred to by the term Mivneh. In this case, under our Nosei heading, we have written Bechor L'Dovor Echad, something that could be considered a firstborn with regard to one of several possible aspects. Kagon b'mikreshel, for example, in the case of Yoitze Doifen, a cesarean birth, v'habo acharov, and that which comes afterwards. In other words, a cesarean birth, if it's the first birth this animal is experiencing, that is its first birth. That would be called a b'chor levlodois. That which comes afterwards, a normal birth, could also be termed a firstborn. It's the first one to emerge through the birth canal, even though it had a sibling that emerged earlier, however, through another method, namely the C-section. So that the second birth is also a first with regard to the rechem. Hagemora tadun b'mahim mahi mashmous hamila b'chor. The Gemara will itself discuss the implication of the word b'chor. Ha'im b'chor l'dover echad mugdar k'b'chor, is that which has firstness associated with one aspect, is that sufficient to categorize it as a b'chor, and hence it would have all of the b'chor regulations applying to it? Oirak hu im hu b'chor l'chol mili. Or do we say that something is considered a b'chor only if it's a b'chor with regard to all the relevant aspects that are necessary, which include first through birth canal, first child, and first male? We look at the Mishnah. Yoitze doifen v'habo achrov, a C-section birth, a cesarean section birth, v'habo achrov, and that which is born afterwards, and of course we're talking about male births. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, shnehem yiru ad shiyistavu v'yochlu b'mumon l'baylem. Both of these will be deemed to graze until yistavu means develop a blemish, and then with their blemish, they will be eaten by the owner, and not given to a Kohen, because we're dealing with a case of a Sofek Bechor. So on the grounds that it might be a Bechor, we can't use it immediately. We'd have to wait till it develops a Mum. And on the grounds that it might not be a Bechor, so it's not given to a Kohen. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Shnehem Einon Bechor. Rabbi Akiva takes a definitive stance and says neither one is a Bechor. Harishon, the C-section, Mitnei She'eno Peter Rechem. It didn't emerge through the birth canal. Vahasheni, Mitnei Shekodmoi Acher. And the first one to emerge through the birth canal is not a Bechor either, because something preceded it, namely the C-section. B'mai komifliki. Here the Gemara asks, what is the underlying point of controversy between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Tarfon misafkalei b'chor l'dover echad I havi b'chor I loy havi b'chor. Rabbi Tarfon misafkalei is in a state of doubt concerning the category of something that is a b'chor with regard to one aspect. Is that considered a b'chor? Is that considered a firstborn and thereby engendering all of the b'chor regulations? Eloi Havi Bechor, or maybe the fact that it has firstness with regard to one of the aspects that we enumerated before, that is not sufficient to have it categorized as a Bechor. Rabbi Akiva, Pshita Le Bechor Ledover Echod, Lo Havi Bechor. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, it is a matter of certainty and obviousness that a Bechor with regard to one aspect is not considered a Bechor. As we continue in the Gemara, there will be reference made to two psukim. One is found in Shmos, Perek Yugimel Posuk Beis, and the other is in Devarim, Perek Tesvav, Posuk Yutes. We've included these psukim on the side of the Gemara, and we will read them to get a flavor of what will be cited here. So the Pasuk in Shmos says, Kadesh li kol b'chor peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael, b'adam u'va behema li hu. Pasuk is instructing us to sanctify every firstborn that emerges through the birth canal, whether it be man or animal. And the Pasuk Dvorin Tesvov says, all firstborns that are born in your cattle, hazachor takdish lashem alakecha, the male shall be sanctified, lo savod bivchor shorecha v'lo sagoz bivchor tzonecha, you cannot work nor shear these animals. The Gemara presents a Tanaic source, and within this Tanaic source, reference will be made to different categories of biblical exegesis, how psukim are darshaned, and there are a lot of rules that are associated with the information that will be featured in this particular source. In the context of our Gemara markings shiur, we will not delve into refined explanation of the different principles mentioned here. We will refer our listeners to the Rashi, who is rather elaborate on this topic. The reason for this is because we want to focus on the issue of the term Bechor, and not so much the details of the different methods of analyzing Psukim. So this source mentions that it's on its agenda is to illustrate two rules of pasuk analysis, and the Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan, Aleph Michlal Hatzorich Leprat, a general category, an expression in the Torah that is of a general nature, and in order to understand what its intent is, it needs a specific expression that will define as opposed to limit. This contrast is something that Rashi explains at great length. Miklal Hatzorch Leprat is a prat, a detail that defines the klal, the general, and not a prat that limits. And likewise, umiprat hatzorach leklal, there are situations that you have a detail who is not clear unless you have the general. Ketzad. Now, where do these appear? Or give us examples of psukim in which you have a klal hatzorach leprat and a prat hatzorach leklal. Now, as this source unfolds, we immediately run into a short bracketed section. Rashi points out that this bracketed section is not an illustration of either one of these two principles that we just mentioned, but rather what's in the brackets is a standard klal uprat. And a standard klal uprat is something where you have a general statement and a specific statement, where the specific statement, the specific term, limits the general rule. However, that's not what's the purpose of this source, but it's mentioned in passing. So that having been said, we'll continue reading the source, realizing that the illustrations of point Aleph and Beis will follow after the bracketed section. So the source goes on. Kadesh, this is from the Pasuk that we mentioned in Shmos Yud Gimel, Kadesh li kol b'chor. Sanctify all firstborn. So you have here a general statement. kol b'chor, all firstborns. Well, yochol afilu nekevo b'mashma, does that include female firstborns? Talmud Lomar, for this we rely on another pasuk. This is from Devarim. It says zohar. This is a very interesting situation where you have a klal in Sefer Shmois and the prat is found in Sefer Devarim. As far as this source is concerned, without getting into any great level of detail, this is an example of a klal uprat. And what we see here is that the klal was general, meaning all firstborns, the prat, meaning zohar, limits. Now, e b'chor zohar, if that be the case, that the firstborn is a male, and only then will it have the halachas of b'chor, yochol afilu yotza nekeva lefonav, would that mean even if you have a male that was preceded by a female birth, will that be considered a b'chor because of the fact that it is a firstborn, it is a first male birth? Talmud Loimar, Peterechem. So comes this expression of Peterechem, which limits, or let's say not limits, but explains. We had a general comment here, Bechor Zohar, and now we are explaining that Bechor Zohar is not always a Bechor. It has to be a Bechor Zohar, a firstborn male coming through a birth, and also it comes through the birth canal, and thereby excluding a firstborn male that was preceded by a female that came through the birth canal, because in order to be a b'chor, it has to be a b'chor, zohar, also first offspring through birth canal. Well, e petechamor, if you're saying that petechamor is a necessary element to establish it as a b'chor, Yochol afilu yotzo achar yotze doifen. So now this petach amor is an expression that we can call a prat, and that's what we mentioned just before. So having this prat, this detail in mind, does that mean that something could be a bechor if it is a first, if it's a firstborn through birth canal, even if it was preceded by a C-section? Talmud Lomar, bechor. And therefore I need the general expression, bechor, to point out that it has to be a first birth. And it's not sufficient if it's the first to emerge through the birth canal, but it has to be a first birth, thereby excluding a first emergence through birth canal that was preceded by a C-section delivery. So this last point was an illustration of a prat who needs the klal in order to define it. Omer le Rav Shravya la Abaye. Reisha loy konosiv lo tamuda b'chor. In the Reisha, now the Reisha is what we called the section Aleph right after the brackets in this particular source. In this source, we were taught to exclude a male that came after a female birth. In order to exclude that kind of male that came after a female birth, the source used the expression peterechem. It did not use the expression bechor. Why not? Almo bechor ledover echad havi bechor. By using the expression bechor, I would not have successfully excluded that case, because in fact, a bechor, a zohar, a first zohar that comes after a female birth is a bechor, because the word bechor means something that is firstness, even if it's a firstness with regard to one aspect. And if I want to exclude that case, the word bechor won't do the trick, because, just to repeat ourselves, a firstborn male coming after a female is a firstborn, because bechor is even a b'chor ledover echad. That's as far as what we see from the Reisha. Just to repeat ourselves for the who knows how many times, the fact that the Reisha did not use the expression Bechor, and rather opted to use the expression Peterechem to exclude the male who follows the female, it shows us that the word Bechor indicates that a Bechor, Ledovar Echad, would have in fact been a Bechor. Well, we continue. Seifa Konosiv La Tamuda. In the Seifa, that's the Bay's section, the last section of the source we learned, where we were being mimayate, that which emerged through the birth canal following a C-section delivery. In order to exclude that case, to show us that it's not considered a Bechor, the Braisa used the word Bechor. Now, let's think about that. A first emergence through birth canal after a C-section delivery is in effect a first, is it not? So how is it that the word Bechor could exclude that case? So it must be, Alma, as the Gemara concludes, the Bechor ledover echod lo havi Bechor. The fact that something is as firstness with regard to only one aspect, that does not make it, or is not considered Bechor. So what we have on our hands, in effect, is a stira, according to the Reisha. Bechor ledover echad would be considered Bechor. According to the Seifa, Bechor ledover echad would not be considered Bechor. So in order to get out of this problem, we have Abaye, who introduces us to his approach, and three lines from the bottom, you'll notice an underlined Ravina, who gives us his approach. In our markings, we've emphasized the words Reisha and Seifa with diamonds. Once again, these are references to the Tanaic source, sections Aleph and Beis in the source following the brackets. Omar Lay. So Abaye responds to Rav Shravya and says, "Li'olam bechor ledover echad loy have bechor." Basically, what was implied by the Seifa, that something that is firstness, has firstness with regard to only one aspect, that would not be considered a bechor. Veresha hachi ko'omar, and the resha is to be understood as follows: E zohar, if zohar is a defining factor, as the pasuk in Devarim said, has to be a male. Yochol afilu yoitze derech doifen, would a male firstborn through C-section be considered a bechor? Talmud lomar peterechem. The peterechem means the first to emerge through the birth canal. So that the expression peterechem is brought in to exclude something that is a full-fledged bechor. It's a firstborn child, male and male, and it happens to be emerging through the birth canal, through the C-section. The term peterechem excludes that. The Rashi points out that being that this is the case of the Reisha, the word Bechor would not have excluded a male first child that comes through the through a C-section, because first child and male, it in effect has all the first characteristics. The only characteristic lacking is emergence through birth canal. So in order to exclude something that's a C-section that's lacking birth canal, so the term peterechem is appropriate. Ravina Omar, li'oilam bechor ledover echad have bechor. As far as Ravina's is concerned, the term bechor will include something that is a bechor even with regard to one aspect. Now, if that's the case, so then how could the word bechor possibly be used to, in this seifa, to exclude the case of something that emerges through birth canal after a C-section? Because, after all, it is the first to emerge through the birth canal, so how is it that the Braisa uses the word Bechor to exclude that, when you're telling me that a Bechor ledover echad is considered a Bechor? The Seifa hochi ko'omar. The Seifa is to be understood as follows. E salka daitoch Yotza Achar Yotze Doifen Kadosh, if it were so that a first emergence through birth canal that happens to follow a C-section, that would be holy, that would have Kedushas Bechor, then Bechor Dekosav Rachmona Lomali. Why does the Torah bother writing the term Bechor? And we're at the top line of Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis right now. If the term Bechor is intended to exclude the case of a birth that a female emerged prior, well, that's mipeter rechem nafka. That would have been excluded from through the use of peter rechem, which says it must be the first to emerge through birth canal. And if a female birth took place already through birth canal, so this male would have been excluded from the term peter rechem. So what is the role of the word bechor? Elo shma minor, we have to conclude, sort of out of, we'll call it out of default, that Bechor is Lim'uti, comes to exclude Hecho de Yoitze Achar Yoitze Doifen, to exclude the case of a first emergence through birth canal that followed a C-section delivery. Now we'll glance at Rashi at the bottom of Yud Tes Omen Aleph, who explains Ravina with greater detail. Five lines from the bottom on Yud Tes Amud Aleph in the Rashi. Ravina omer bechor ledover echod havi bechor kloimar bechor dekro afilu ledover echod mashma. The word bechor in the psukim could include something that has bechor that has firstness even with regard to one aspect. The seifa de nosif tamud bechor, the seifa of this Tanaic source that used the word bechor limute to exclude yotza achar yotza daifen, to exclude the case of a first emergence through birth canal after a C-section, lo mi ma'ashmo us dekro nafka. The brisa is not deriving that from the interpretation or the meaning of that word, dekro nami mashma bechor ledover echad. As we pointed out, the term bechor could be ascribed to something that is a first with regard to even one aspect. So then, how is the word bechor being used? Elo mi ribui dekro, rather from the fact that it appears to be an extra expression. Rashi continues, the isaka daitach yotza achar yotza doifen kadosh, if one were to think that which emerges through birth canal after a C-section is holy, bechor dekosav rachmona demashma she bechor b'miktsas lomali. What does the word bechor come to exclude? Lichtov peter rechem zohar takdish v'lishtok. I could have, without the use of the word bechor, successfully excluded that case by writing Petarechem Zohar Takdish. Rashi goes on to the top, the I Limute Yotza Nikevalafon of Derech Rechem. If the goal of the Torah is to exclude a male birth that transpires after a female birth canal emergence, that's mi peter rechem nafka. That could have been learned from peter rechem. Elo, so what is the role of the word bechor? It has to be to exclude another case. It's limute yoitze achar yoitze doifen, to exclude a birth canal emergence that follows a C-section delivery. So once again, it's not from the meaning of the word bechor, but it's from the presence of the word bechor that the Brisa arrives at its conclusion. So as the Gemara said on the second line from the top of Yud Tes Amud Beis, reading that, it's again, it says, Elo Shma Mino Bechor Limute, the word Bechor is here to exclude Hecha Diyotze Achar Yotze Doifen. So that's Ravina's approach. To restate that, Ravina is saying that as far as the meaning of the word Bechor, even if it's a Bechor L'Dover Echad, it would be a Bechor. However, the role of the word Bechor in this case is simply by the fact that it seems to be an extraneous expression. It must be coming to exclude the case of a Derech Rechem after a Yoytze Doifen. Omar Le Rav Acho Midifti the Ravina. Now, we start a long question, an attack on Ravina's approach. If, as you claim, that a Bechor, with regard to one aspect of firstness, is considered a Bechor, in other words, if you were focusing on the meaning of the word itself, that is what you would come out with. Tenach hecha de yotza zohar derech doifen, ve zohar derech rechem deloy kadosh. De imut mi bechor. I could accept your approach that says that the use of the word bechor in the Tanaic source was through the reboy aspect. In other words, the fact that you have an extra expression and we are thereby able to exclude something, I would understand your approach of the use of the word Bechor to exclude something. That's where a male had been delivered through a C-section and then afterwards a male emerged through the birth canal. That in that case, the second birth, which is the first to emerge through birth canal, is excluded. De imut mi bechor, de bechor l'rachamim ika. This particular case is a first emergence through birth canal. Bechor l'zachorim ulevlodois leka, but it lacks the other two. It has only one aspect of bechorah to it, lacking two other aspects. So, regarding two out of three things, it in fact is not a bechor. So in that context, I could say this is severely lacking. It has only one of three firstness elements to it, and through the use of the word Bechor, I will exclude that case. But once again, not because of the translation or the implication of the word Bechor per se, but because it's an extra expression. So as an extra expression or as a riboy dekra, so we will take the lightest case and say this. The lightest case meaning the case easiest to see that it's not a Bechor because it has only one of three aspects of firstness, so that's excluded. Elohecha di yotzisa nekevo derech doifen, v'zochar derech rechem. However, if you have a case where the first birth was a female C-section, following her emergence, we have a male through birth canal. Mikdash, I would think that is in fact sanctified. Da'ika b'chor l'zecharim u'b'chor l'rechem. It's got two out of three aspects of firstness to it. And as we mentioned before, if we're using the word b'chor in a non-translation fashion, but as a riboy device, by the fact that it seems to be an extra expression, as we said before, that would exclude, let's say, the lightest case. But something like this, that namely a birth canal male, which was preceded only by a female C-section, this I would have thought you could sanctify as a Bechor. And yet we don't. Well, how is it that we don't? Ela machvarto kidabaye. Rather, the simpler approach would be to adopt Abaye's. Machvarta means the one that appears more likely is the Abaye approach that uses the meaning of the word itself, which, as we saw before, Bechor l'dovor echad is not a Bechor. Rather, it has to be a Bechor l'chol dovor. And therefore, even if it's a firstborn, if it's a first male through birth canal that was preceded by a female C-section, This has no chance of being a Bechor because it's lacking its firstness as far as children are concerned, Bechor Levlodois. And through Abaye's approach, we can see how this last case would be excluded. We now continue with the new perek, the third perek of Bechoros. Before going on in the Mishnah, let us glance at the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. As we scan down the Mishnah, you'll see a series of double underlines that appear. These feature behemois shoinim, different kinds of animals. We see underlined a goat, a sheep, a cow, and a donkey. Behemois shoinim, Yisrael shelokach behemo min ho'akum. The Mishnah will feature a case of a Jew that buys an animal from an idol worshipper. Haim kishetoylid oisa behema vlad zohar birushus Yisrael yehei chayev bevechora. After buying the animal from the Gentile, will the first male birth in the Jews under the Jews' ownership be chayev in bechora? So obviously we have to discuss issue of age of animal. If a person, let's say, bought a rather adult type animal, it can very well be assumed that the animal gave birth to children while it was in the domain of the Gentile, and hence the births that are taking place in the Jewish domain are certainly not firstborns. However, if one acquires a rather young animal, where it's unlikely that it gave birth while it was still under Gentile ownership, so the birth that takes place, the first birth that takes place in the under Jewish auspices, will be chayav in bechor. Now the Mishnah: Halokeach behemo min ha'oved kechavim, one who purchases an animal from an idol worshipper, the eino yodea im bichra im lo bichra, and he doesn't know if it's bichra, it already bore its first child, if or not. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. So Rabbi Shmuel gives us his guidelines: Eiz bas shnosa vaday lekohen. That means if one bought a goat within its first year of age, so that birth, if it's a male birth, since it hasn't passed its first year of age, it had not given birth beforehand, and therefore it is definitely presented to the Kohen as a Bechor. Mikan v'elech, beyond that age, Safek, any birth that takes place under the new Jewish owner will be a matter of doubt. Maybe it already gave birth while it was under the ownership of the Gentile. The same concept continues with age differences. Rochel bas shtayim, vadai lekohen, a sheep that is giving birth before it passes its second year of age, that birth will definitely, if it's a firstborn male, it will go to the Kohen, Mikan ve'elech Safek. Beyond that, though, it will be a Safek. Pora of a chamor, a cow or a donkey, Benois Shalosh, Vadai the Kohen. The cutoff point here is 3 years of age. Mikan ve'elech Safek. Beyond that is a matter of doubt. Omer lo, Rabbi Akiva. Ilu bevlad bilvad habehema nifteres. If it were so that an animal is said to have experienced birth through the emergence of a child, and only through emergence fully developed creature, that alone would cause Bechor exemption, then Kidvorecha, then as you say, and as we saw in Rabbi Shmuel and his guidelines. Ela Omru, however, Rabbi Akiva says, the rabbis have ruled Simen Havlad, the sign of a birth, Bevehemo Dako, Tinuf, Ubegasa Shilya, Ubeisha Shvir Vishilya. Focusing for a moment with regard to a Behema Dako, even if it experiences something called tinuf, which the Gemara will discuss more on Daf Chof, but tinuf is some type of slime or secretion that comes as a result of some level of fetal development, that tinuf would be considered, as far as the legal guidelines are concerned, a birth. And hence, a living offspring that emerges after that would not be a Bechor. Now the main point is that Tinuf is something that could take place within the first year of the animal's life. So that if I bought, just for using numbers examples, if I bought an 11-month-old goat, and it then becomes yields a child, it could be that at 4 months of age it experienced tinuf. We're not holding ourselves in this example to something of accuracy. It's just for illustration purposes that even though I have a goat that gives birth at, let's say, at 11 months, it may have experienced tinuf at an earlier point. And that tinuf already would have been considered a birth in legal terms, and hence the 11-month-old goat that's now bearing a live child, that's not really its firstborn. And the same standards, or we'll say same type of example, applies with regard to a behema gasa. By a behema gasa, the emergence of a shilya, of a placenta, would be considered a birth, even though it's not a developed offspring. And hence, in the case of behema gasa, which we saw in the under Rabbi Shmuel's guidelines, any birth that takes place before 3 years of age, well, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, if you, let's say, an animal bore a live offspring at 2 years and 11 months of age, whereas Rabbi Shmuel would say that's definitely Bechor, Rabbi Akiva would say it's not definitely Bechor because there may have been a Shilya emergence after when the animal was 2 years old, let us say. And that Shilya that it emerged at 2 years would have been its legal first birth. And with regard to human beings, that which is considered a first birth would be the emergence of a shvir or shilya. Rashi explains a shvir to be some type of membrane that has the form of a fetus. It seems to be an undeveloped fetus that emerges prematurely, and shilya being afterbirth. Any of these things that emerges from a human being would be considered the its first birth, so to speak, so that even though the lady bears a full-grown infant afterwards, that child that's born is not a bechor, because there may have preceded an emergence of a shilya or of a shvir. Ze haklal, this is the rule. Kol sheyodua shebichra, anything that is known to have already born a child, ein kan lekohen klum. Then, after the Jew buys the animal, the first birth in his domain will not go to the kohen because it's known that it already bore children. The chol sheloi bichra, and anything that is known not to have given birth or experienced any of these things, then hare zeh lekayin. The im safek, if there is a matter of doubt, ye ochel b'mumo lebailim. Then the owner will have to wait till it develops a blemish, and he then can eat it without giving it to the kohen. We turn now to the Gemara, and we will notice an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And this is lined up with the arrow that one sees in the Mishnah, where it had said, Mikan ve'lech safek. The topic heading that accompanies this, found in the outside margin, the Nosei, Mishnah Senu, our Mishnah, Doimeres, the Behemo Shioletis, Birshus Yisrael, Achar Shekonsum Igoi, Achar Gil Mesuyam, an animal born under Jewish ownership after it was bought from a Goy, after a certain age, after a certain age, have a sofek b'chor, is considered a b'chor of doubt. So lema, should we say that Rabbi Yishmael b'masnisin, that Rabbi Yishmael of our Mishnah K'Rebbe Meir Svirole, that he holds like the well-known opinion of Rebbe Meir, the Choshesh Lemiut, that takes into consideration the minority chances. The Ilu L'Rabbonan, if Rabbi Shmuel had been abiding by the approach the Rabbonon take to these matters as opposed to Rabbi Meir, the Rabbonon would have said, Roiv behemois misabrois vyodos toichazmanim shnizkru v'mishnah. The majority of animals conceive and give birth within the times stated in the Mishnah. So that if the Jew acquired an animal after the ages stated in the Mishnah, as far as the Rabbonon are concerned, the Rabbonon who don't take into consideration the minority possibility, the subsequent birth would definitely not be a Bechor, not a Sofek. So as we go on in the Gemara, we will notice triangles that appear. After the Gemara opens up with this suggestion that Rabbi Shmuel of the Mishnah seems to be abiding by Rabbi Meir's approach, who factors in minority chances, thereby suggesting that Rabbi Shmuel is in accordance with Rabbi Meir, the Gemara will, with the triangles that we see, with the point facing upwards, will attempt to say that Rabbi Shmuel can conform to the Rabbanon as well. And after that, when we get to the bottom line of the Gemara, the last word on the page, we see an inverted triangle that indicates that Mishnosenu is Rak Aliva de Rabbi Meir. So that's what we have included under our Mivne heading. Just to read that again inside, the point facing up, Afilu Temo Rabbonon, we will be able to say that Rabbi Shmuel can conform to the Rabbonon. Diyesh L'chalek, there is room to make a distinction between Ruba di Isei Kamon, a majority that appears in front of us, Labain Ruba the Lesei Kamon, as opposed to a majority that exists, but it exists in the general world order and not a majority that appears in front of us. These points will be illustrated in the Gemara itself. And as we said, when the triangle flips over, this will be an attempt to show that the Mishnah goes only according to Rabbi Meir. We turn now to the Gemara. Mikan v'eilech sofek. Rabbi Shmuel described a Jewish purchase of animal after a specific age. The first birth to take place in the Jewish domain will be a Bechor misofek. In other words, a possible Bechor. Well, am I Sufik? Why do you call it a possible Bechor? The Gemara in the long question that unfolds, as you can see, we have a marking indicating this to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a shin that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line indicates that this is all question material. Why do you call it a Sufik? Haloch achar rov behemos. Why not follow the majority of animals? V'roiv behemos misabrois v'yoldois besoich shnosa ninhu. The majority of animals, and here we'll refer to the majority of goats, they conceive and bear within their first year. The ha, this animal that was bought from the goy after its first year, vadai meled olid, it definitely had given birth. Following the idea of a majority, it definitely had given birth. And when the Jew gets it and then enjoys a birth after that, it certainly is not a bechor. So the fact that our Mishnah says mikan veilich, it says it's a safek, leimo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir svirle dechayish lemiuta. Should we therefore say that Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah holds by Rabbi Meir's approach that says one has to consider the minority possibility? Now, there exists a minority of goats that have not conceived and born offspring in their first year. So that when the Jew buys this animal at age year plus, the first birth under his auspices might in fact be the first animal this goat is bearing, because it's from the minority of goats that had not conceived and born children in their first year. So it seems that Rabbi Shmuel is adopting Rabbi Meir's approach that says, take into consideration the minority possibility. The Gemara says, I don't have to limit Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Meir. Afilu temo Rabbanon. We can have Rabbi Shmuel abiding by the Rabbanon. Ki azli Rabbanon basaruba. When is it that the Rabbanon say you must follow the majority and discount the minority altogether? Beruba de ise kamon. That's when you're dealing with a majority of elements that are in our presence, that we are sitting, that we are facing. Kagoin, two very well-known examples. Kagoin, the case of Teisha Chanuyos, the Sanhedrin. Let's deal with the second case first. Sanhedrin is a simple case. If you have a court of 23, which is one of the numbers of judges that are featured as courts to rule in capital cases, if you have a decision, a split decision, 13 versus 10, 13 holding, let's say, guilty, 10 holding innocent, the indicted party, the defendant will be found guilty because you have 13 against 10. Well, you see, all of those judges are sitting in your presence. That's called a ruba, the ise, come on, the majority are in front of us. The case of Teisha Chanuyos is a situation where a piece of meat is found outside a row of stores of 10 meat shops, 9 of which sell kosher meat, 1 of which sells unkosher meat, and I don't know where this piece of meat came from. But when I find it outside the shops, the majority of the shops are in front of me. That's called a ruba de ise kamon. However, our topic of births and animals involves a rove, aval ruba de lese kamon. There's a statistical majority of animals, as we said, that give birth within their first year. However, there's a minority that don't. In a rove of that nature, that the majority of the goats world over, they're not in front of me. So, lo asli rabbonon basaruba. The Rabbanon don't hold themselves bound to rule exclusively according to the majority statistic. That being the case, Rabbi Shmuel, in our Mishnah, indicated a first birth in Jewish domain after a year old in the case of the goat would be a suffix. That point could be in accordance with the Rabbanan as well. As we said, the issue of goats involves a statistical majority of items that are not in front of me. The Gemara challenges this approach. This is represented by a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, a kushya, and a challenge to what we just said under our first triangle. The Gemara asks, "V'ha'kotanu k'tana deruba de lese kamon." The case that's entitled kotan k'tana, which we will explain shortly, but that case entitled kotan k'tana involves a statistical majority, that namely a majority that's not in front of you. The Ko'azli Rabbanan Vasaruba. And yet, in that case of Kotan and K'tana, the Rabbanan rule according to the Rove, based on that statistical majority, once again, which is an example of Aruba the Lese, come on, the Tznan. And now we have the Tanaic source, which features the issue of Kotan and K'tana. Before reading the source, just a word of general introduction. A woman who is married to a man, and he dies without leaving any children. The widow is called a yevama in the event that he leaves a surviving brother. That surviving brother is expected to marry her through the yibum process. In the event that he doesn't want to marry her, there is a process that releases her from this bound situation, and that's called chalitza, whereby she removes a shoe from her brother-in-law, from her husband's surviving brother, thereby releasing her to marry whomever she likes. That's called chalitza. The process of yibum, called a marriage process of yibum, and the chalitza ceremony, are these ceremonies that have age restrictions to them. So our source says, Katan uktana lo cholzin velo miabnim, divrei Rebbe Meir. A katan and knana are not eligible for chalitza nor for yibum. That is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Amru lo yofa amarto she'en cholzim. We can understand that there's no chalitza done when you're dealing with minors, because ish kosuv b'parsha, the word ish appears in the Torah, which deals with the issue of yibum, and it's uses in the context of specifically in the case of chalitza, of the shoe removal, an ish must be involved, and the word ish excludes a minor. And as far as the woman is concerned, she too must be an adult, namely over 12 years and a day. Umakshinon ishal ish. We compare ishal to ish. And once we've established that a katan is excluded, a katana is also excluded. Matam ein miyabmin. However, what is the reason that you don't allow for yibum, for marriage to take place between the Koton and Ktana? Omar Lohem. So Rabbi Meir explains. He says I won't allow it because Koton Shemo Imtsosoris. The Koton, the surviving brother, who in this case was under 13 years of age, as he develops, as he matures, he might turn out to be a Soris. A Soris is a male that's incapable of reproduction. And as such, since the whole purpose of Yibum is to bear children, and the child, the firstborn, is established as a what's called a spiritual continuation of the deceased, in the absence of the ability to fulfill that, so there is no mitzvah Yibum, and the surviving brother would basically be considered one of the arayas, a forbidden relative to the sister-in-law. So that we don't know regarding the katan what his future holds. Will he develop normally and achieve normal male maturation and with reproduction abilities, or maybe a minority chance, but it is a chance that he may not develop and he'll end up being a soris. Likewise, Ktana, Rabbi Meir says, I don't allow a Ktana to enter into the Yibum marriage. Shema Timtso Eiliness, she might be found to be a woman with this phenomenon of Eiliness that appears. We'll call that a parallel to source, where she cannot bear children. She'll be incapable of reproduction. And if they were to marry, Vinimtsu Poigin Be'erva, the marriage between a soris and the yavama, or the yavam and an islandess, would be a forbidden relation, which is called erva. That's what pogin berva. They would be literally meeting up with a forbidden relationship. That's as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned. Now, the rabbonon disagree with Rebbe Meir. They say zeal boser roiv ketanim. They say, we will allow this relationship to take place because rov ketanim, the majority of ketanim, the rov ketanim lav srisim ninu, they don't develop into srisim. Zil bosa rov ketanis, rov ketanis lav islandis ninu. And likewise, with regard to the females, rov minor females do not develop into ilonios. And as we said before, here you see the Rabbanon basing their ruling on a majority. What kind of majority? A statistical majority. Not a majority of elements that are in front of them. Elo Omar Rova. Machvarta Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Svira Le. It appears to be more likely that Rabbi Shmuel, who said that Mikan Velich Safek, that births that take place after a year of age in the case of the goat, are a suffek bechora and not a definitely non-bechor, that is a function of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir's field, of Rabbi Shmuel adopting Rabbi Meir's approach, the chayish lemiuta, that takes into consideration the minority. And that is, in the case of the goats, a minority of goats do not conceive and bear within their first year. We are continuing, we're at the top, the second line from the top of Chof Amud Aleph. We see another triangle. This time the point is facing up again. Ravino Amar Filu Temo Rabbanon. We can say that Rabbi Shmuel does subscribe to the Rabbanon. He Asli Rabbanon Bosaruba. When is it that the Rabbanon determine things based on the majority, and we'll say discount the minority? That's beruba delo toli b'maisa. That's when it's a majority, even if it be a statistical majority, but a majority that develops without any intervening actions. Beruba delo toli. That's avaruba de toli b'maisa lo, but a rove that is dependent upon some type of action, then the Rabbanon themselves will not base their ruling or approach it based solely on the rove, but will take into consideration the minority alternative possibility. Now, in the case of the goat, or any of these animals and their reproduction, there is a maisa, namely the maisa of joining, of mating. And as a result of that, it's not considered sufficient certainty when you simply have the rove factor, because this is a rove, a majority that in order to achieve it, you need the action, the mating action. And as such, the Rabbanan say that in cases like that, we do factor in the minority as well, giving rise to the idea of what we saw Rabbi Shmuel saying, Mikan v'eilech sofek b'chor. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.